Turn with me as we read just a short passage of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and reading from verse 1. First Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. We'll end the reading there at verse 8. We know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Last Sunday morning, in our little series text for troubled times, we were looking at the experience of God's servant David in Psalm 27. Despite the difficult circumstances that David faced at that time in his life, he was able to say with confidence, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David's confidence was in God and in God alone. And such confidence not only dismissed his fears, it enabled him to delight himself in the Lord. He was able to praise the Lord in the midst of dark and difficult days, and you and I know that that's not a very easy thing for any one of us to do. We need to be patient in those circumstances and allow God to order all our ways. We need to be courageous and encourage ourselves in the Lord, because it's not always easy to swim against the tide. It's easier to lie down, to wallow in self-pity when things go against us. But our faith must be stronger than that. We need to be expectant, to wait patiently in the Lord, and as he sees fit and in his own time, he will not only strengthen our hearts, but he will bring us through those dark, difficult days in order that we might be the better for it. He said to me, Well, Pastor, I'm still waiting for those days to end. Well, you keep looking up. There is light at the end of the tunnel. The night might seem long just now, but the morning is about to break. And remember that God knows what he's doing, and he wants you and he wants me to simply trust in him. Today we come to encourage our hearts again, and I'm turning your thoughts to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to look at God's servant Elijah. I want to simply ask you a question. As you look at your life and you look at the circumstances that you find yourselves in just now, could it be that you're living in the valley of despair? Do you feel overwhelmed by the circumstances that you're facing just now? Do you feel that there's no real point anymore in you pressing on with life? Life has got you down to such an extreme that today you just cannot see any way out. Do you feel at times so down and so discouraged that sometimes you wish it would all end and simply end as soon as possible. If you've ever felt like that, then you can say that you've stepped into the shoes of God's servant Elijah. I always find him a very interesting and refreshing character, and one of my favorite characters in the whole of the scriptures. Remember, he bursts onto the scene at a time in Israel's history when the people were at a low ebb spiritually. He came with the Lord's message at a time when it was desperately needed, and he was greatly used of God. And so often when we think of men like Elijah, we somehow set them up as one of these great men and women of God in the Bible that you and I read of, people that we could never ever be like. Let me tell you something about Elijah. Because despite everything that he was and all that he accomplished during his ministry for God, the Word of God tells us this, that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had his weaknesses. Although he was a great man of God, he was still only a man. That's why we find him this morning living in the valley of despair. He has just enjoyed what was perhaps the highlight of all of his ministry. He had one of the greatest experiences ever as he takes on face to face the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and all of a sudden, having seen the hand of God move in a miraculous way and being on the mountain top with God, he's now down in the valley of despair, and he wants his life to end, and he wants it to end right now. Beloved, it's great to have mountaintop experiences, and we ought to thank God for them. But remember, after those mountaintop experiences, there will be a time when we'll find ourselves down in the valley. And we need to be able to cope with that, and we need to be able to deal with that, because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves in the same place where Elijah was on this occasion. Now, I'm going to be very practical this morning, and I'm going to mention three very simple things that I hope will help you and me as together we seek to work and serve the Lord. I want you to note with me the reason for his heartache. Despite his great exploits in 1 Kings 18, and I have already alluded to that, to this great experience on Mount Carmel, you'll remember how that he takes on the 450 prophets of Baal, and remember that the fire of the Lord was sent down from heaven, it consumed the altar, and the prophets of Baal had been dealt with, and Elijah is now a man on the mountaintop. That is in 1 Kings 18. But when you come to 1 Kings 19, it's a very different kind of character. This man who has defeated 450 prophets of Baal is now fleeing from the face of one woman. Maybe some of us men are saying this morning, I can understand that, for one's enough to do that to any man. But here's a man who takes on 450 prophets, and he comes out on the victory side, and now he's on the run from one woman. And we need to ask ourselves the question, why did Elijah flee on this occasion? Why did he find himself in such a state of brokenness? Why is his heart filled with so much fear? Well, there are two simple things I note about this. The first has to do with false information. Because when Elijah had defeated Ahab and the prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel, it was God who had wrought the great victory. It was God who had revealed himself in all his mighty power. But Ahab and Jezebel are slow to learn the lesson. When Jezebel asks Ahab all that had happened, Ahab lays the blame at the feet of Elijah. Look at verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now there's no doubt Elijah had a part to play in all of this. But it was God who wrought the victory, not Elijah. It was God who had overthrown the prophets, not Elijah. It was God who had revealed himself to his people. But instead of giving God the glory and acknowledging his need of God, Ahab laid the blame at Elijah's feet. It's not easy when the blame's laid at your feet and you're wrongfully accused. It's not easy when people misrepresent you and when they misunderstand you and when they blame you for something you didn't do or they misquote you about something that you didn't say, and you have to take the flack and you have to take the pain and you have to bear the anguish. Elijah faced the wrath of Jezebel when in reality it wasn't his fault. Most of us can cope with the things that are our fault. We find it hard when we're blamed for things we don't do. There was false information. There was failure to wait on God. Elijah had forgotten about God's protection and God's provision. You'll know the story about Elijah, I'm sure, very well. You remember the fellowship he had with God when he was fed by the ravens at the brook Cherith. God prepared him for the next stage of his ministry. You remember how he had enjoyed the provision of God at Zarephath when God used the widow woman to supply his needs in days when there was little or nothing. He had already enjoyed the protection of God on Mount Carmel when he confronted the prophets of Baal. But the interesting thing is this, in Elijah's life, on every single occasion, these words are recorded in the scriptures. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah. God had led him every step of the way. God had undertaken for him thus far. And all he had to do was continue to wait on God and to do as God said. But now he does something that's out of character for him. Instead of waiting on God, instead of trusting in God, he hears that Jezebel's out to take his life. And he takes to his heels and he runs. There's no waiting on God. There's no faith in God. He reacts in the spur of the moment. And he runs with a heart that's filled with fear. You know why? Because Elijah is now walking by sight. And he's no longer walking by faith. Beloved, sometimes we're like him. We find ourselves on a sticky wicket. We're going through difficult circumstances and we're prone to be like him. And even though we know and we pray about it and we talk about it and we rejoice in it, even though we know about the sovereignty of God, even though we know that God is everything in control, when God doesn't react immediately to certain situations, we take control. We try to resolve things our own way, and that's a disaster. It's far better to wait on God and to do things God's way and in God's time. Even though we know God has never failed us and he never will, we're still reluctant at times to trust him when the difficulties come, and we tend to trust in other people. And we tend to trust in other things instead of relying solely on God. The problem is that when we lose sight of him, we begin to walk by sight and not by faith. Not only do we find ourselves often in greater distress and making a mess of what is already a mess, very often we find ourselves in bypath meadows. We get to the stage where all of this is his fault. And if it's not God's fault, then it's somebody else's fault. Never mind. And sometimes we need to stand back and to see if not some of these things of our own making. Because we didn't wait on God and let God have his way in our lives every day. No matter how dark the way, no matter how difficult the day, you have to wait on God and allow him to order all your ways. Every morning, just as I wake and to face a new day, there's a plaque that just sits on the wall, and I look at it every single morning, and it simply says this: Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stead on thee. Where's your mind this morning? Sometimes some of the hardest things to do in life are just simply to wait on God
to listen for his voice through his word. Simply to walk by faith, even we can't see the way ahead, and especially when we can't see the way ahead. Guard against taking matters into your own hands and making hasty decisions. They could lead you into a place that God never intended you or me to be. The reason for his heartache, false information, a failure to wait upon God. But I want you to note the result of his heartache. Not only did he flee from Jezebel, but he finds his life in an absolute mess. Someone has said this about Elijah, and it's worth quoting. The most experienced saint, if left to himself, is immediately seen to be as weak as water and as timid as a mouse. Look at verse 4. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Here's a man not only despondent with his circumstances, he's depressed with life. And he's so far down that he simply wants to die. No point in telling Elijah to give himself a good shake. That's what we often do when people are down and discouraged. That's the best ministry sometimes we feel we give them. Or give yourself a bit of a shake and get up and get on with it. Elijah couldn't get up and get on with it. This man's at breaking point. This man is so far down, he sees no way out, and he says, "Lord, I'm no better than those who have gone before me. Take my life. Because for me, there's no further any point for living." Why was he like that? Could this man who had just been involved in a spiritual warfare on Mount Carmel now be in the midst of a spiritual downfall? Because for Elijah, there's no point in going on. Why was he like that? Well, let me give you some practical things worth noting. The first is this, that he was mentally distressed. Mentally distressed. Whatever else he was, Elijah was only a man, and the work had taken its toll on him. Oh yes, he'd just undergone a great victory in Carmel. But that experience took it out of him. He was one man against 450 prophets of Baal. It had taken its toll on his frame. He was drained, and now he's at a low ebb, and the threat is made in his life, and he's gone on the run, and he's not just distressed, he wants his life to end. And Elijah shows just how human he really is. The battle was so intense and the work so overwhelming that this man was mentally distressed. Beloved, sometimes some of us need to remind ourselves we're only human. We're only human. I know sometimes people look at us and they think, well, we're superhuman, and we're not. We're just human. And sometimes in the heat of the battles we face, and we're weak and we're wounded, the best thing to do is just to come apart for a while, lest we come apart altogether. Quite recently, in conversation with a man in the Lord's work, we chatted together about how he felt, and he was absolutely miserable. He was wearing Elijah's shoes. Couldn't see no point in going on, couldn't see no light at the end of the tunnel, couldn't see any means of being involved anymore in Christian ministry. And he said to me, "I'm afraid to go and to say that I feel like this, because they think, will the church feel I'm no longer capable? Will people look at me and feel that I'm no longer able for this type of ministry?" And he was afraid because he thought that people wouldn't understand he was human. Human. It's a sad thing when we forget that we're just human. All of us. And no matter the work that we do, whether it be in the ministry, or whether it be looking after somebody in our home who's not well, or whether it be in some job that is stress-filled, and there are many of them today, we need to realize that sometimes, whoever we are, we need to come apart and rest a while before we come apart altogether. Life is so busy today. We sometimes need to take time out. And we need to slow down. And sometimes we need to sit down before the Lord and be refreshed. A man on one occasion, I chatted to him about his work habits. I was out in the home visiting, and just as we visited together, he said to me, "I apologize for being in late, but I'm home early tonight." And I looked at my watch and I thought, "You're home early tonight?" I said, "Pastor, I don't usually be in at this time of the night." He says, "I go out in the morning before 6. I'm never home any night till 11. Some nights it's 12. I don't even see my children." And I said, "Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're not doing yourself any good. You're not doing your children any good. You're not doing your body any good. And you're not doing God any good." You know, there are some Christians who like to let people know that they're burning the candles at both ends, and they're just simply wonderful, and life's never been better for them, and I can keep going. They can keep going so long, and one day they find themselves like Elijah. It's one thing being super spiritual. Sometimes God just wants us to be sensible. He was mentally distressed. He was physically drained. Elijah's body couldn't take any more. The physical strain was more than he was able to bear. He had reached the stage of burnout. If you read the chapters which precede this one, and I hope you'll do that when you go home, I think you'll sit down and you'll wonder why or how Elijah had the strength to get this far already. He had walked 100 miles from Cherith to Zarephath. No buses through Israel in those days. He had been weakened by his experience on Mount Carmel. He had run 18 miles to the entrance of Jezreel. He has now walked into the wilderness in the heat of the day, and the truth is, Elijah just couldn't take any more. He couldn't give any more. He had reached burnout. Christians should always be busy people, because the night cometh when no man can work. But you can't burn the candles at both ends and get away with it. If we do something, we'll give, and normally it's our health. Beloved, you can push yourself too far. These bodies of ours were built for rest and for refreshment. The pastor on one occasion was walking down the street. It was a Monday. He'd taken the day off. The lady from the church happened to meet him in the street, and she says to him, "Pastor, you're not working today." He said, "No, it's my day off." And she says, "But Pastor, the devil never takes a day off." He says, "That's right, and you wouldn't want me to be like him." Sometimes we just need to slow down. Church life, we need to learn to share the load, the workload. Because I have a great fear today, and this is just a personal observation. There are some people in church life and they're burning out while others are sitting wasting away. Think about that. Some people sitting in the pew who are burning out for God while others are wasting away, doing nothing but warming a chair. And if the workload was shared, how different it might be. Because here's the reality. You say to me, "Pastor, but I'm very busy." So too are those who are doing the work. But they still do it because there's nobody else to share the workload. And if you overburden them, you'll soon have to do without them, because you'll wear them out, and when they're gone, somebody will have to take their place. I'm sure you've heard the little poem, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Mary had a little lamb, it was given her to keep, and then it joined the Baptist church and died for lack of sleep. You and I need to be very careful today that we don't confuse activity with spirituality. And instead of sometimes a lot of doing, there ought to be more waiting and simply refreshing ourselves before the Lord. Mentally distressed, he was physically drained, he was spiritually depressed, he's under a juniper tree, he's exhausted, heading for a nervous breakdown, pleading with God to take his life, he's heading for spiritual shipwreck. He wants to end it all. He's feeling so sorry for himself. He's filled with self-pity. He wants to die because he just cannot take any more. That's not a nice place to be. But there are some of God's people who are there this morning. That's how they feel. That's what life seems to have brought to them, a life that's pressure-filled. They're at the end of their tether, passing through difficulties. Their health has got them down. Spiritually, they're struggling. And you and I, who seem to be going on well with the Lord, ought to remind ourselves that we could one day be like them, so be sensitive. And don't only pray for them, but encourage them along the way. You say to me, but Pastor, I just can't understand why any Christian would ever get to that place. Well, if you've got the time, come with me and I'll let some of them tell you. They'll explain it better than I could. The reason for his heartache: false information, failure to wait on God. The result of his heartache: here's a man, and he's at a low ebb, he's mentally distressed, he's physically drained, he's spiritually depressed. Look at the remedy for his heartache, very quickly in closing. Elijah was down, but he wasn't out. He asked God to end his life, but God instead gave him a new beginning. He wanted a way out, but God gave him the means to go on. Look at verse 5 for a moment. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. God knew exactly what Elijah needed and when he needed it. This is the same God who had proved himself at Cherith, at Zarephath, on Mount Carmel, and now under the juniper tree. He had regular food, sufficient sleep, complete rest. All the things that he needed as God ministered to him physically, mentally, and spiritually. Look at that again, regular food. How many of us come in and out of life and in and out of the house and we're taking something on the run because we haven't time to sit down and eat with our family? Pastor, you're guilty. I know I am and I shouldn't be. How many of us can't get time to go to bed because we're up involved in this, that, or the other thing, trying to make this work and that work, and we haven't time to get to bed to sleep? Regular food, sufficient sleep, complete rest. God's provision was real and it was relevant and it was right. And it was just what Elijah needed. Despite how Elijah felt and everything that he feared, God wasn't finished with him yet. That disappointment, difficult though it was exactly what Elijah needed. It may be that God had to teach him a lesson in humility after the experience of Carmel. It may be that Elijah needed to be reminded that despite the fact that God had used him, he was only a servant and God must have all the glory. But whatever God's purpose for Elijah was, it wasn't the end, it was just a new beginning. Because when God had finished with Elijah, it says that he went. He didn't sit there. He didn't lie down. It says he went on the strength of that. Beloved, every disappointment we face is God's appointment for us. Every discouraging experience may well be a stepping stone whereby God makes us more like Christ and more useful to him. Because every situation has its own purpose, and we better not waste them. We better learn from them, no matter how difficult they appear to be. Robert Morse and his family were missionaries in Burma. They were enjoying the blessing of God upon that ministry when suddenly they were taken by the authorities and thrown out of Burma, and it happened so quickly. They were unable to get visas to leave, and they had to hike over the Himalayan mountains with their sick children. His wife told them on the process of moving not to worry, because this was only a temporary inconvenience. 6 years later, they were still in the jungle, and Robert Morse said it was the worst experience of his life, and it seemed to them at that time as if God didn't know what he was doing. But during that time that he was in the jungle, Robert Morse completed a translation of the New Testament into a native language. He saw a number of tribal leaders converted to Christ. He also wrote a book entitled Exodus to a Hidden Valley. And he said this. He said, despite what I saw to be the most difficult period of my life, I had to admit that not only had God been in control all the time, but God knew what was best for me. I don't know where you are today, but I do know this, that God knows all about you and he knows all about me. He's in control of every situation, and he really does know what's best for us. So wherever you are this morning, don't keep looking around, and don't keep looking within. Keep looking up. Stay focused on him, and allow God to work out his plan and purpose for you and me at this particular time, difficult though it seems right now. Let's bow together for a moment in prayer. Father, there have been times when we have stood in Elijah's shoes. Times, our Father, when life was so tough and our experience was so hard to bear that we just didn't feel like going on. But we bless you this morning that every disappointment to us is a new appointment for you. An opportunity, our Father, for you to give us a new beginning, and to give us the strength and grace not just to cope but to move on and to do exploits for you. Would you bless your word to our hearts this morning? And wherever you find us, our Father, minister to our every need.
and help us to put our hand in yours by faith today and just to follow you every step of the way. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.